Georgia lawmakers convene next week, and while there were many discussions about the new federal tax bill and how it might benefit the politicians that voted for it, there are similar debates going on here in Georgia. The Center for Public Integrity and the Associated Press recently analyzed financial disclosure reports from state legislators nationwide, and they found many examples of politicians who've used their power to benefit their own interests. Liz White is a reporter with the Center for Public Integrity. Hi there, Liz.
Hi, Celeste.
And James Salzer covers state politics for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. About to get quite busy, James.
Yes, we are.
So, Liz, let's begin with this. This is something that is called self-elected self-interest. And it's fair to say it's common nationwide, is it not?
Yeah, most state legislatures are part-time in the United States, and many of them pay very little, similar to Georgia. And as a result, the state lawmakers, citizen legislators, need outside employment, and that just in and of itself breeds opportunities for conflicts of interest.
So, James, how do politicians here in Georgia see this? Do they ever recuse themselves from these votes?
Once in a great while, there is one legislator in particular who they actually named a rule after because it was so common that he would exempt himself from a vote for a conflict of interest. But the reality is that the rules of the House and Senate make almost nothing a conflict of interest. It's very, very hard to, literally, you have to have a bill that only helps you or your business.
Like you by name.
You know, yeah. You know, obviously you're not put your name on it, but it essentially would, yeah, it would have to be something that says this bill will benefit me and my company and to the exclusion of other people in that business, in the industry.
So, Liz, how lenient then do you think Georgia's laws are when it comes to this? Did you find evidence that politicians are regularly voting on bills and laws that might benefit them?
Well, what we did was we got all of the disclosures for the state legislatures in the United States. So Michigan, Vermont, Idaho didn't have them at the time. But for 6,933 legislators, we did get them. And we combed through them and we found many examples of legislators sponsoring bills or voting for things that benefited them or their businesses or their employers and kind of combed through that and chose some examples to highlight in our reporting, which you can see at publicintegrity.org. We didn't choose to highlight any in Georgia in particular, but we definitely saw some while we were reporting. And I would say in a lot of states like Georgia that have part-time legislatures, it is very common for things to go unnoticed and for people to sit on committees where they're regularly making decisions that affect their business, their line of work, how much they might take home at the end of the day in a paycheck. And that's fairly common.
And in fact, you've created a searchable library so I can go in there and just put in Georgia and find my lawmakers, right?
Right. You can stick in your address at apps.publicintegrity.org/disclosure, and you'll see your state lawmakers 2015 financial disclosure or any other state lawmakers you want to look up.
But James, it's almost a running joke here in Georgia how voters will continue to vote for politicians who've even been found guilty of financial misconduct in some cases. There is Eugene Talmadge, who was accused pretty credibly of stealing tens of thousands of dollars, and he said famously, yeah, I stole it, but I stole it for you, right?
Yeah.
How much do you expect this kind of thing bothers Georgia voters? Well,
it really depends on the district. I mean, I'm sure there are examples where, you know, people were thrown out for some of this, but, you know, I remember in the early 2000s, one of the most powerful legislators in the state got indicted on over 100 charges of financial malfeasance. And he was reelected, excuse me, he won election, he had lost an election, and he won an election under indictment and eventually went to trial and was convicted and sent to prison for 10 years. But his voters said, you know, he's not been convicted, you know, he's not been convicted of any crime. A lot of these examples, I help oversee the capital team at MyJC and Politically Georgia, and we look at we commonly look at the financial disclosure reports when we see bills that are filed that look like it's going to help a specific industry. I mean, I kind of emphasize that with my reporters, and I do it myself. So a lot of the stuff that, like in this report, I mean, you can get those same reports in Georgia. If you don't want to get it from that group, you can get them at the State Ethics Commission because they have the same reports filed there.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with James Salzer of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Liz White, who's a reporter with the Center for Public Integrity. But Liz, what kind of trends, I mean, the Center for Public Integrity, this is the kind of work that is your mission. That's what the CPI does. And have you seen any trends in how closely people, voters, are paying attention to these issues and whether they care?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, I think from what just paying attention to politics these days, I think political engagement is fairly low. Most people don't even know who their state lawmakers are. And so I would say it would be pretty unusual for this to become a major issue in a state. I think what we wanted to really highlight with our reporting was just how pervasive it is, and sometimes really egregious, too. You know, for example, we found the rare coin dealer who was got the rare coin tax break through the Louisiana legislature twice, you know, and we found a North Dakota lawmaker who had who has repeatedly opposed an ethics commission in North Dakota, sponsoring bills that include a lot of extra funding for colleges that happen to be his customers. So, I mean, in some cases, you know, it seems like to your average person, it seems like a fairly substantial issue, but state legislatures don't see it that way, and they make their own rules, and so that's what we're left with.
And Liz, do we see, look, there's often questions about how somebody goes into Congress, and I'm talking about the federal Congress, and they're worth $200,000 maybe, and 8 years later, they come out and they're worth $1.5 million. Can we draw a line between this elected self-interest that you're reporting on and the net worth of our elected politicians?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, even Congress has rules against employment while you're serving. I mean,
did you just say even Congress?
Yeah, they have pretty strict rules since the 1970s on moonlighting and outside employment. Where state legislatures are designed to be citizen legislatures, they want it that way. So, and there are some benefits to citizen legislatures too. There's, I think it's a convincing argument to say that it's nice to have for lawmakers to have real world experience to get out there and really know what it is like from day to day to try to earn a paycheck. In addition, some of these lawmakers, there's in some states high turnover, like you need people with experience in certain industries to be able to regulate them, that kind of thing. But anyway, yeah, that's a good question. I think we saw some examples. For example, in Rhode Island, there was one lawmaker who specifically said on his website, he was a DUI lawyer, and he said, you should hire me because I literally wrote the law. That's what his website said. And there are a couple other examples like that, too, where people are using their status as a lawmaker to specifically advertise for their outside employment.
So, James, there's no desire, as far as I know, in Georgia to employ a full-time legislature.
No.
Right.
No.
So pretty much all the legislators have either their own business or are still employed.
Yeah, the Speaker Ralston recently, when we were talking at the newspaper, related it's kind of an old story, but that a legislator from North Georgia was asked during an interview, excuse me, who serves in the legislature, and he essentially said rich people, retirees, and people who are broke, and that's essentially, that there are a lot of retirees, there are a lot of people who are in business. And people who are broke are people who are trying to live off what's in the legislature. And there aren't that many of those. But by and large, people are in business or they work for businesses that are willing to let them off during the session. But there are many lawyers, many people in the insurance industry who regulate the insurance industry in their committee. The lawyers all make all the laws that or write all the laws that affect their industry, affect the judiciary. So they're, you know, it's incredibly common for that to be kind of the theme.
And that seems to be the problem, Liz, because how difficult would it be if every legislator were to recuse themselves from bills that benefited them in some way? We'd have a lot of absences, right?
Yeah, that is one of the arguments. There are a couple states where legislators, even if they have a conflict, are required to vote because legislators say, you know, we can't disrupt our chamber this much. We're designed to be this way. And that's one of the kind of snafus you come into contact with when you're trying to design ethics laws in these states.
Yeah, that makes it difficult if they're only making, what do they make in the state legislature?
$17,000
a year.
But they've also gone gone the opposite direction. I mean, they're, you know, one of the bills we highlighted a couple years ago was a very high up member of the legislature who was in the insurance business pushing a bill that essentially told insurance companies, you have to pay a minimum of X commission to us for selling policies. Now, that's, you know, that's benefiting all insurance agents who sell that, I think it was health insurance, that brand of insurance. So there's no conflict there. But obviously the individual and
no
the people who are
technically
right. Under house rules. But there, you know, obviously there are people in the legislature who are benefiting from that. And you're not eliminating all the votes if
right.
you just get rid of the people who are going to benefit.
That is James Salzer, State House reporter for the AJC, and Liz White is a reporter for the Center for Public Integrity. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste.